continuing our series on insecurity called Insecure Series. I think this is a monumental series in the history of this church. I feel like a broken record because I say that about like every series, but literally this series I think has the reach, the impact, the stretch of this series that it has, I think has been like no other, because this series challenges you. It makes you reevaluate who you are. It makes you reassess where you are. And it grows you. And I believe that you are going to grow because of this series. If you are joining us online, I forgot to mention our church online. We love you. We welcome you. Do you guys know that we have people in Australia like requesting our services and watching us online like on a regular basis? Yeah. Who wants to go and plant a church in Australia? Any takers? One, two, three, four, five. Five people. Hey, Lord, maybe all we need is five people. You never know. But we'll start a beach ministry in Australia. Amen? Some of y'all are like, ooh, this dude, I don't know. Anyways, continuing our series, we're going to talk about being secure in your identity today, okay? One word, identity. It's very important to know your identity. You know why? If you do not know who you are, then you will not know what to do. That's not that deep that I have to say it again, but I'll say it again because you asked me to. If you do not know who you are, I love the feedback. I appreciate that. That helps a preacher preach. So can you help me preach today? Thank you. If you do not know who you are, you will not know what to do.
That's right.
If you do not know who you are, you will not know where to go.
Amen.
It's not rocket science. This is the simple part of the message. If you do not know who you are in Christ, if you do not know who you are, what your standing is as a man of God or a woman of God, you will not know what God wants you to do, where He wants to send you, what He wants to accomplish through you. That's why it's so important to know who you are. Turn to your neighbor, say, do you know who you are? And point really convictingly at him or her. I love my brother LeVar, man. He's my brother. LeVar, I'll put it to you this way. What if I just come up in your house and be like, LeVar, why are the dishes not done? LeVar, why is your boxers all over the floor, LeVar? LeVar, why are there plates everywhere and why is there cat litter all over the floor? LeVar, I don't like your lamp. LeVar, I don't like where your couch is. I think you should move that seat over there. LeVar, what is that smell? I added that wrinkle from the second service, you know, from the first service to this one. What if I did that, LeVar? You'd look at me like, you'd probably do something to me, right? No, come on. You wouldn't do that. No, you don't do me like that. Come on. But you would want to fight me. You'd be like, what are you doing coming into my house and dictating me and telling me what to do?
That's right.
I have no authority in LeVar's house.
That's right.
I have authority in my house, right, honey? Stop shaking your head at me, woman. What is wrong with you? Help me out, baby. Come on. I'm trying to preach here. Oh. Struggle is real. You can't lie in church. Contrary to the head shaking, I have authority in my house. Stop it. I have dominion in my house because it's my house and it ain't your house. Okay? I do not have authority in LeVar's house. I have no jurisdiction in LeVar's house. Why? Because what is the identity of LeVar? He is the man of his. I am the man of my house. So if he's the man of his house, I can't come up into his house and start telling him what to do and what to change and what I don't like about it, because I have no jurisdiction there. I said this before. If you go to a gas station, you start stealing Twinkies, and then the police catches you running from, you know, the thing around the corner, and he says, stop, points a gun at you, put your hands up in the air, you better start raising your hands and start praising God. Because he is the police. He has a gun. He has authority.
Yeah.
He has the suit on. If I were to do that to somebody, they'd probably be like, screw you. I got my Twinkies. I'm out of here. And I cannot impersonate an officer. You know why? Because I am not an officer.
Right.
Okay, that's impersonation. That's a crime. You can't do that. You can't be who you're not. And our resident philosopher, Eli here, I got to point him out. Our resident philosopher hates the saying, oh, just be who you are. He's like, man, Andre, you know, I hate that saying, just be who you are. Because what if you're like a serial killer? Or like, what if you're like a rapist? Or what if you're like something really like bad, like the worst of the worst? I'm like, Eli, when Pastor Alex preaches that, he's not saying be who you are at your worst. He's saying be who God created you to be. Do what God created you to do. You're good at that. What he's saying is stop trying to be like somebody else. Be yourself. What makes you special? What makes you tick? Be yourself. So I had to throw that out of there. But that's why no jurisdiction, no authority. You don't know identity, you will have no authority. So that's why you got to know who you are in Christ today. Do you know who you are? If you don't, you will be by the end of this message. Amen. Let the Spirit of God work in your heart. You know what's crazy? Go to Matthew chapter 4, verse 3. Check this out. If the Son of Man, Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus, gets questioned about his identity, what makes you think the devil won't question you about your identity? Before Jesus started his ministry, actually, checked it out. Before he started his ministry, remember what happened? He grew up, came of age, and he went into the desert for 40 nights, 40 days, and he was tempted, it says, by the devil. And he came out past flying colors. But watch this. The devil said, during that time, the devil came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, if you are a Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. Now, he asked him three times. That was recorded in the Bible. For all we know, there could have been many other things that he tried to twist his arm and you know, make him stumble. He wanted to make him stumble. That's the devil. He's a deceiver. He wants to make you stumble. Okay, that's his job. That's his main objective. So if he questioned Jesus, how much more do you think he's going to question you? See, the devil knew who Jesus was. He just wanted to make sure Jesus knew who Jesus was. The devil, no preaching today. Yeah, the devil knows who you are, but do you know who you are? Because if you don't know who you are, then, well, he's going to start feeding lies into you and telling you, well, I think you're this. Well, I think you're this. You don't need any of that church stuff. They're lunatics. They're Bible thumpers. They're holy rollers. They're freaks. I love that ringtone, by the way, in Jesus' name. But, you know, he's going to start feeding all this garbage to you because you don't know who you are. And you know what? If you're not comfortable with where you are, if you don't know your worth in Christ Jesus, then what is it to him? He's not going to hold back. He's going to give everything. He's going to throw everything he possibly can at you. If you want to know who you are, remember, we're all creation, guys. Do you know? We are a creation made in the image and in the likeness of God. I am God's, like that sang, the song, the sang, the song that we sang, tongue twister. I am a child of God. That's who I am. That's who I am at my core. That's who you are at your core. Amen? Amen. So that's not just a song we sing. That's a declaration that we make that I am a child of God. And if we want to know the creation more, you got to go to the source. And you know what the source is? The Creator. So if you don't want to know more about the creation itself, well, just go to the source. The Creator of the heavens and the earth and of you and me. See, you know what? This world likes to give us shortcuts. It likes to bypass the Creator and go to an artificial source. It likes to go to not the original. It likes to go to the fake, the duplicate, the copy. The world loves copy, but it's scared of the original because the original is God. The original is the source, made in his image and his likeness. And the world likes to just kind of short circuit, bypass that. Ah, we don't need that. We made our own God. Oh, we made our own image of what a man should be. This is an image of what a husband should be. Well, this is what an image what of a wife should be. And, you know, this is kind of the cool way to do it. Who cares about God's way? We don't need God's way. God's way is boring. It's old. It was a thousand-year-old, thousands-of-year-old Bible. Who needs that? And see, the world uses that lie against us on a daily basis. And if you're not really sure about who you are in Christ Jesus, if you're not even sure about who you are as a person, as a man, as a woman, as a human being, go to Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Famous scripture. I know y'all, a lot of y'all know this one, but it says, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nation. Can you believe that? Before he even, if you're not sure about who you are, God was sure about who you are even before you were, before you became.
That's right. Come on.
So if you have questions, if you have doubts, I want to encourage you, forget the world, turn to the Word. The Word knows who you are. It knows what you should be. Your authority is in the Word.
Amen.
It comes from the Word. It is in the Word. Let's read, let's open to 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. This is the encouraging part. Let it begin right now in Jesus' name. Let's read. See how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children, just like the song we sang, and that is what we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know him. So you see that? Do you see the disconnect? We identify with the source. They identify with their own artificial copycat source, which isn't the original. You know what? This isn't pride. I'm not saying this out of cockiness, out of arrogance, but you know what? I'm an original. You are an original. Tell your neighbor, say, you're an original. And I like original. Hey, this is the word of God. This isn't pride.
That's right.
This is the word of God. See, the world doesn't even recognize that. See how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is what we are. At your very base, at your very core, you know what you are? If you are in Christ Jesus. Now, if you're not, a disclaimer, I pray the Spirit of God would work through this message so you don't hear me, you don't even see me as a person, because I'm not perfect, I have mistakes and I fail, and I'm not even that good. But I hope that you listen to the Spirit of God and you have a moment of grace today so that you can come out of the darkness and into the glorious light, which you're going to read here in just a minute. And we'll give you an opportunity at the end of the service to receive Jesus as well, and that's like my favorite part, so woohoo, I'm excited. All right, so how many of y'all love movies? Yes, like everyone's hand go up. Okay. Are we going to watch a movie today? No. We watched two already. But, okay, so you know how in movies, like there's like these, I don't know what they're called. They're like, they're not creepy, kind of creepy, but they're like drama, CSI, FBI, you know, that genre where it's like detective stuff. Okay, yeah, something like that. And let's say there's this person in a movie. You've seen movies before where someone just gets into a whole bunch of stuff. They get into a whole bunch of crap. They do a lot of bad things. They say a lot of bad things, and the government's on their butt. And, like, literally, they're like, they make it to, like, the FBI's most wanted list, right? And there's no way out. They can't. And then if they're lucky and sneaky enough, they hook up with the right person, and they ask for what? An identity change. They're like, bro, can you help me out? I need this. Or sometimes it's even a government operative. They, you know, they completely give somebody a new identity, a fresh start. Well, I believe that's just in movies, but I think it's from the God. I believe they got it from the Bible. God gives each and every one, if he's willing, a new identity, a fresh start.
Amen.
We were once children of the darkness, and we become children of the light, as it says. And we get a total identity change.
That's right, new life.
We have a new life. We are a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17, and you know this is a famous verse. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, this means that has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. That's like a complete identity change. Lord knows sometimes we need an identity change. We have so much baggage and we have so much weight holding us down from our past. We just can't keep living and we can't move on like that. And I'm glad that we serve a God that loves us, and despite all of our sin and all our shame and all our filth, He gives us a fresh start. See, He doesn't look at us as sinful and filthy and dirty. He looks at us as a child, at His children. Those of you who have children out here, Lord, tempers, patience, you get tested in that like every day. My little boy here is going to be 5 pretty soon. The dude tests my patience. Let's just say, I love him to death. Don't you mess with my boy. I will mess with you if you mess with my boy. My little girl, she's too small yet, so it doesn't count. But the dude tests my patience. But what happens when he screws up? And he screwed up pretty bad before. Am I going to disown him?
No.
Am I going to throw him out of the house and say he's unworthy to be my son? No. I'm going to love him. I'll whoop him probably first. Thank you for that. I'll probably show him a little something, something. You know, put some fear of God in him. And then I'll have a chat with him and say, son, this hurts me more than it hurts you. Amen?
Oh, man.
I'm not going to disown him. I see past his faults. You know what? He's probably going to screw up again. He did something so foul to me and my wife. No, I can't tell you. I'm sorry. I slipped my mouth. Baby, should I say it or no?
Yes.
Yeah? Is it? Well, you're my filter. Okay, I have time. We moved to Holy Spirit time. We're forgetting about that time. So you're going to be here for 2 hours. So forget about it. All right, so I'm kidding. Kidding. My goodness. Whoa. Some people got up. Some people are like, oh, God. All right. See, I'm free now, so we can flow. A few days ago, I was at rehearsal, so Wednesday night's my rehearsal night, so I come home late, and sometimes I don't get to see, put the kids to sleep. I love to put, my boy Johnny to sleep, and we have, flashcards that he learns animals and letters and all that stuff. Anyways, he missed that. Mom put him to sleep. So I come home, and we were just in the room just chilling. We were just, I don't know what we were doing. I was writing my sermon. We weren't chilling like that. We were not Netflix and chilling, thank you. I learned what that was, 2 months ago, so... It's like, wow, it's crazy. No, some of y'all have just bypassed you. But anyways, church online and chill. Wait for the chill part after the sermon. Thank you. I approve this message. All right, so we were just, I was writing my sermon. I was doing something holy, I'm sure. Yana, I don't know. She was just Instagram or whatever. And so we hear these footsteps. And we're like, oh, no, Johnny's up. And this was 10-something at night. His bedtime is earlier. He comes into the room, and I think he was sleepwalking. The kids, they get kind of hazy, and his eyes were what? He comes into the room, stands there, he's like, Daddy. So he runs up to the bed, and then the smell hits us. He's like, Daddy. He lays down for 1 second. He gets up, runs to the bathroom, and then goes to bed. And me and my wife were we're dying over here. I'm like, that wasn't you. That wasn't me. This dude just released a bomb on us. I don't think he knew what he... The next morning... Hey, the next morning, my wife asked him, hey, honey, what happened last night? He's like, I don't remember what you're talking about, Mama. I didn't do that. Because we told him what happened. Oh, we'd open the windows. It was bad. But anyways... See, that's a funny story, so I can laugh at it after the fact. But you know what? That's just a funny example. Sometimes he's done some really bad and just naughty and stupid things, and I get mad. The point is, I'm not going to disown him despite his imperfections, and he will have more, and his smells. I'm still going to love him. I'm going to love him like I'm going to lose him, like that song says, all right? And so that's God's love for us. Thank you, Jesus. Because, Lord, we get smelly sometimes, and you still love us despite our smell. Okay, we got to go back to the sermon now. Okay, Apostle Paul, crazy, I think is one of the greatest examples of an identity change. Remember, he even changed his name, actually, from Saul to Paul. This guy was a Christian killer. This guy was so religious, and it was religion the demonic force that was driving him. He thought he was right and no one else was right. That's what was driving him. He actually went in to persecute Christians, the very thing that he became and the one thing that God ordained before the foundation of his world to make him do, to be the light. And he wrote, ends up writing two-thirds of the New Testament. Yeah. That's an identity change right there. And you know what that tells me about Apostle Paul? I mean, this dude was so bad. God takes the bad people and he makes good out of them. God can take something that's bad, something that's really bad in your life, and he can make it good. God does not look for the perfect people. God looks for actually the unqualified people. Sometimes we get in this mind and we have this stigma and that says, you know what, I'm too qualified. I shouldn't be doing that. I shouldn't be cleaning up after church, or I shouldn't be, you know, helping out with the remodeling or whatnot. Come on, man. Look at me. Like, I'm too cool, you know? I can't do that stuff. That's like for other people, you know? But God looks for the unqualified people, and then he qualifies them. I'd much rather be qualified by God and the Word of God than qualified by this world. Amen? So let Apostle Paul be, like, an encouraging example of a crazy, dramatic identity change. You know what happened to him? You know why? He had his moment of grace. On the way to Damascus, all it took was one moment of grace with Apostle Paul. He met Jesus. And when he met Jesus, he let him get a hold of his life. And Jesus produced an amazing thing, one of the most respected, iconic writers, really, of the Bible today. And because of his work, because of his answering of the call of Jesus on his life, we get the new two-thirds of the whole New Testament. For let that be an example for you. Maybe some of you today need an identity change. Maybe some of you today, you know, you really do need a fresh start. You kind of need a new, you know how they say, new lease on life? Yeah. Well, I know the one who gives leases out, and it's not going to cost you anything, well, except for your life. Yeah. But faith speaking, it's not going to cost you anything. It's going to cost you an I do and say, yes, Lord, take me. I want a new life. I want a fresh start. Maybe you guys been through some stuff. Like, here's the thing. I feel bad. When I was preparing, I was talking with my wife. I said, baby, I don't have any, like, really crazy, terrible examples of, you know, like, these struggles that I've had in my life. And, like, you know, I don't have these crazy, you know, some people have some really good testimonies out there. Like, you know, we got plenty of those people in church. We got a church full of testimonies, amen? And that's good because it means God is working. I mean, I feel bad because, like, man, I'm trying to think. I just draw a blank. My worst testimonies are I almost drowned in poop. And I'm not going to bring that up again because everyone knows that story. No. I rebuke that. That's from the past. I shut that up a long time ago. No, seriously, I almost died in poop. But anyways, like, so I feel bad. But I just want to encourage you today. Some of you that do have a really kind of a rough story, a rough past, you know, don't let that haunt you. Don't let that have a grip of you. Don't let it stop you from becoming what God wants you to be. Because the past is going to suppress you. It's going to depress you. But God wants to set the captives free. He wants to break those chains off in Jesus' mighty name. There is no project that is too hard for God. Do you know that? Some of us, we're a project. We're like a project. Yeah. But there's no project that is too tough for God to handle. Amen. There is no one that he cannot tame. You just have to let him and watch him work. I wrote something down. I gotta get my notes straight here. I wrote something down. What you've been through is not who you are. Okay? Contrary to popular belief, what you've been through is not who you are. Some people can use that against you, and the world likes to use that against us, but what you've been through is not who you are. It make you, it can shape you, it can mold you, but it's not who you are as a person. It's just what you've been through. Some things you went through that you didn't have to go through, but you were, you know, we were a little too stupid sometimes and we still went through those things. But that's not who we are. We were just dumb at that time. We were just maybe moved by the flesh. Maybe we didn't even know God at that time. That's not who we are. I am a child of God. You are a child of God. So just because you've been through something, and I know some of us here have been through something, amen, it doesn't mean that's what you are. No, that's what you've been through something. The Bible says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I am not the valley of the shadow of death. I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but I am not the valley of the shadow of death. That's something that I've been through, amen? So I want to encourage you today. Listen, maybe you are going through the valley of the shadow of death right now. Don't stop. Keep plowing. Keep climbing. Don't set up camp in there. That's not a good place to be. Jesus has a promised land. It's just a little farther. Press on. I want to encourage you today. A great, great, crazy example of this, and we talked about Joseph in another series. I'm just going to set the backdrop for you. Remember Joseph, sold into slavery by who? Not the devil. By family. Whoa. Family. Like that one Vin Diesel dude, I don't have friends, I have family. Yeah, I brought that down. His own family sold him into slavery. He missed out on most of his young manhood because he was a slave. Now, he was cocky. He was arrogant. He had a big mouth. He was telling his brothers that he was going to be a king, blah, 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 blah. You see, when God says something over, he declares something over your life, it doesn't mean it's going to come to pass right then and there. Sometimes when God says something and he speaks over your life, it might take a day, it might take a week, it might take a month, it might even take years to come to pass. But when God says something, it will come to pass. It doesn't have to be now. It will come to pass. Mark not my words, mark his words. It will come to pass because the Bible says the word of God does not return void unto him. Amen. So anyways, he blabbed out this whole vision and the brothers got jealous. And man, you know, brothers, sisters, it's competition. You know, you always like, I feel like I'm the best brother. Like, I don't know. I love my brothers, but like I'm the best. Whatever. I think mom loves me the best. Whatever. Anyways, so he blurted this out and they got mad and jealous and what? They sold him into slavery. He lost most of his young manhood life. And look, they had you read the story about Joseph. You know what happened? God shows up in a crazy, miraculous way. And let's open that scripture. It's in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. And at the very end, you know, the land, there's a huge drought and there's a famine in the land. But God gives this man of God, because Joseph, he was faithful. He gives him provision. He gives him wisdom. He, like, crazy things he does because God tells him. Not someone, he didn't learn this from somebody, but God imparted it into him because he was faithful to God and his call. And they kind of reconcile. And look at the love in Joseph's heart. It almost makes me want to cry, for real. Look at the love in his heart. He accepts his brothers and family. And what does he say? He says, you intended to harm me. And boy, they did. But God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so that I could save the lives of many people. Yes. And although this scripture was written for Joseph's circumstance, I want you to apply it to your circumstance. Amen. I want you to apply it to your situation. Maybe you're in a situation today where somebody intended to hurt you. And somebody intended to harm you. And someone did not only intend to, but someone followed through with hurting you. You've been hurt. You've been harmed. You've been trampled on. You've been stabbed in the back. Oh, I hate backstabbers. Man. Somebody acted like all holy and good. And that was the farthest thing that they were. In Jesus' name. You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me out of this position so that I could save the lives of many. And although this was written for Joseph, this was written for today. You know why? I believe this is a prophetic verse. Watch that last part of that verse. It says, he brought me to this position now. This position now means now, so that I could save the lives of many people. That's your call. That's your calling. That is it. It's to save the lives of many people. Some of you got some stories to tell. Some of you got some struggles that you need to share with people so they don't have to deal with it. Some of you got some chains of bondage that you had and you broke off in the name of Jesus, but you got to release them so people don't have to deal with that stuff. There is power in your words. There's power in your testimony. So don't be scared. The devil's going to try to suppress it. And I just really feel the spirit of encouragement in this place. He's going to suppress it and compress it. Get it out. Get it out. Just get it all out. Help somebody today. Tell your neighbor, say, can you help me? Help me, help me. Okay.
Preach it, come on. Preach it.
What time is it?
Blue.
Blue.
There's no time.
This is God's time. Don't you hate when a preacher says, there is no time? Yeah, there is still time, preacher. We got lunch, bro. There's still time. Oh, Jesus. No, but for real, there's still time. Don't worry. Let's open it. We got to move. We got to open 1 Peter 2:9. So check this out. Encouraging part right here. Like if you slept through this whole half, which I would be shocked if you did, just wake up for this part. Let's read. But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God. For he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Isn't that encouraging? Royalty. Man, I love messages that make me feel good. I hate the ones that condemn me, but I love the ones that make me feel good. In Jesus' name. I am a royal priest. Did you know? Okay, ladies. No, they know altar boys, man. Don't say that, man. Come on. But did you know that you are a royal priesthood? When you give your life to Jesus and you become out of darkness and into his glorious light, you are a royal priesthood. Did you know that? Now, the reality is, sometimes I don't feel like a priest. Sometimes I don't feel like a royal priest. I said this earlier. Sometimes I feel like a royal pain in the... whatever Balaam was riding on and talked. That's what I feel like. Okay? But I still am, despite my emotions, I'm a priesthood. Now, I fall short of that daily, but so do you. But God loves us despite all that stuff. We are priesthood. We are royal priesthood. So listen, this world has got so much things that drag us down, and it's speaking so much garbage about us. Like, I'm sick of hearing all these negative reports and how... you know, how we're not good enough and how it's never good enough and how I always come short. I want to hear what God is saying about me. I want to receive what God is saying about me. And I want you to do the same thing too. Forget all about all that negative stuff. And just can you just receive the love of God? Sometimes we're so cold and we're just so numb that this world numbs us up when we get bad reports. Because you know, bad reports are free. No one asks you for a bad report. They just give it to you. You don't, it just comes your way. You got to pay for something that's good. But let's just receive the goodness of God and his grace. Don't let your emotions influence your identity in Christ. Rather, let your identity in Christ influence your emotions. See, we go on the first part of that. We let our emotions influence our identity in Christ. That's when we get wild. That's when we kind of, you know, you just get in the flesh. You have a moment of anger or whatever it is that you're, a moment of weakness, whatever that you're dealing with. And don't let that influence your identity in Christ. Rather, let your identity in Christ influence your emotions. So the next time you feel tempted, say, oh, Lord, I ain't doing that. Mm-mm. I'm not like that. You brought me out of the darkness into your light. I can't be doing that. Help me, Lord. I want to show you something. I got an illustration. A sermon ain't a sermon without an illustration. So, oh, Lord, getting old. Can everyone see this? Online, can y'all see this? Yeah, let's do this. Okay. Okay. This is you. This is you. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's you. This is an illustration of you. Guys, I apologize for the white trash bag. We've had this instance before in the past series, I think. And Anyways, like, I was in a rush this morning. Like, I got to preach Jesus. I ran out, didn't grab my shoes or nothing, Jesus. And so I just grabbed whatever I saw. And so this is an illustration of you and me, okay? So this is you and me. What is in this bag? Garbage? Man. Self-esteem. All right. Does anyone know what's in here? Not Chinese. Some of y'all hungry already, huh? It's that time. You're speaking out what you're going to eat. All right. I like that. That's faith right there. No, it's not a LeBron James jersey. Come on, man. Let's get this open here. This ain't tissue paper. This toilet paper right here, bro. There's some black stains on here. There's a smudge. It's an illustration. It's not real. It's an illustration. But this is you. This is me. This is all of you. Online, this is you. No, everywhere. Get rid of this bag here. This is you, but don't you know that there's so much more to you than meets the eye? Okay? What we see is just kind of a part of us. It's our body, it's our flesh. But who are we at the core? Only God knows. I know, Lazarus. Wake up. All right. Let's get this guy. Okay, I'm having problems unraveling you. You unravel me with a melody. You surround me. All right, just like we sang. You know what? I'm going to put this microphone down. This is just bondage right here. This is you. This is really you. It says right here, Hollywood best body. I stole it from my wife. So I just didn't have anything. So I'm like, babe, what can I use as a prop? I was thinking about something else, but it would have turned out bad. But anyways, this is you. And that illustration right there is kind of how the world makes us feel a lot of times. And the devil makes us feel a lot of times. And I'm not blaming everything on the devil, because a lot of things that we go through is our own fault. But the devil is an accuser. Right. And I'm speaking out against accusations today. Spiritual accusations in Jesus' name. This is you. That right there is not you. That's a part of you. That's a shell of you. That illustrates your sin. Yeah. That illustrates our worthlessness. That illustrates our struggles, our bondage, our chains, our shackles. But that's not us. This is us. And you know what's cool and amazing about God is God doesn't see us like that. God is so much more powerful. He sees us despite that, and he sees us just through those layers. This is what he sees. When we look at somebody, all we might see is this of them. And we actually judge them by this. This is not who they are. This might be what they're going through, but that doesn't mean that this is who they are. They're much bigger. They're much better. They're more worth it in God's eyes. I hope you guys got the point of that illustration. Amen?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Let's move on. I saw this cool saying on social media. Ricardo Sanchez said this. I love this. One of my favorite. It says this: the devil knows your name, but calls you by your sin. God knows your sin, but calls you by your name. Isn't that an amazing, encouraging truth of God? Devil knows your sin, and he calls you by it. God ain't like that. God knows your sin, and he calls you by your name. Why? Because he looks past. He's gracious and loving enough to look past all that stuff. How many sins do we have? But we have one name, amen? And that is child of God, amen?
Amen.
Amen. God is so good. You see, just like this illustration over here, you know what we do? We devalue people's worth when it's determined by how we see them instead of how Jesus sees them.
Yeah, say it again.
We devalue people's worth when we see them how we see them instead of how Jesus sees them. For real, it gives us an opportunity in the flesh to look down upon people because we see them, we identify them by their weakness. We identify them by their struggle. We identify by, oh, you know, that's the one lady that did that. Oh, have you heard about that one guy, brother? Oh, yeah, he's that brother that, oh, he's the one that, he's going through this. Is that how we talk about people? Like, for real? Yeah, usually we do. I felt like spirit of conviction writing this thing because, like, Lord, I've been so guilty of that. Is that how I identify people? And God says, no, I don't identify them that way. Yeah, they may be going through something, but you know what? You're going through something too. And when you were going through something, I didn't point fingers at you. I actually brought you out of that thing that you were going through and out of that darkness and into my glorious light. So instead of judging somebody, instead of pulling on somebody and being a big bully and identifying and judging them based on their weakness, stop it. Judge them based on what they're good at. Judge them based on their success.
That's right.
I wrote this quote. I'll kind of open it up for you in a second, but I wrote this quote. Listen, it says, we often judge people by their struggle and pray for their success when we should judge them by their success and pray for their struggle.
Wow.
Did you get that?
Yeah.
We judge people by their struggle and pray for their success after we've judged them by their struggle. And instead, we should judge them by their success and pray for their struggle. Here's the danger about judging people by their struggle, because you let something called pride in. You let pride in. You say, oh, well, yeah, I'm not struggling with that. That makes me better than them. Well, I ain't struggling with what she's struggling with. I'm above that. I feel sorry for her. May it never be. God have mercy on us. Let's see the good in people. Let's celebrate people. Let's celebrate their goodness that they do have. And someone's got, every single one of you has an ounce of goodness in you, whether you believe it or not. You just maybe been told that you don't, so you stop believing it. Because after you've been told something, you begin to believe it. No matter if it's good or bad. If you're being encouraged all the time, you're going to naturally be an encourager. But if you're being put down all the time, how are you supposed to bring somebody up? How can you build somebody up if you're always constantly getting torn down? You can't. It's not in your nature. Faith comes through hearing, Bible says. And hearing the word of God. And you know what? Confidence comes through hearing too. If someone's always building your confidence, be around those people. Love them. Now, don't go looking for the people that are always yes people and they just say yes all the time. Because that's, you can get in a trap with that. You got to use wisdom. The Bible says test the spirits. So get around people that will show godly wisdom and godly counsel to you. We got to keep moving. We're almost done. Thank you, Eli. Make it real emotional, all right? Pastor Tanya, when she spoke a couple weeks ago, she did a great job, and I kind of want to hit on what she was saying. Don't let people speak into your life out of these 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 things, okay? Number one, don't let people speak into your life out of pain. Because hurt people hurt people. Do not let people speak into your life out of pain. That's pain talking. That's not the person talking. No matter how good and Christian he is, that's pain talking. Do not, number two, don't let people speak into your life out of regret. Because just because they didn't do it, they think that you can't do it. Well, not really. You can do it. They just didn't. Thank you, LeVar. I can do all things through Christ, who is my strength. That's good. Number three, don't let people speak into your life out of pride. We don't want to listen to those people. Those people are obnoxious and annoying anyways, right? That's easy. You can smell pride from a mile away. Amen? And it stinks. Number four, don't let people speak into your life out of jealousy Oh, Pastor Alex did an amazing job hitting on that, this series about insecure. That's the whole point of this, guys. God wants you to be secure in Him. Insecure, duh. Winning, duh. We got to bring that back. No, it's dead. That's been dead. Okay. Number five, don't let people speak into your life out of bitterness. You ever met some bitter people out there? Ooh, Lord, some people are just bitter. Just bitter, 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 bitter. Everything is wrong for them. Nothing is right for them. You're never good enough for them. Why you look that way? Why you got holes in your shirt? I don't know. trust me, I've been accused of that many times. I'm holy. It's a holy shirt. Okay, and this one is for fun right now. I just threw this one in there. And don't let, number six, don't let people speak into your life out of hunger. We say some bad things when we're hungry. Remember, baby? She's laughing. There's this meme on Instagram or something I saw. It says, baby, forgive all the things I said to you when I was hungry. Like, I want to make a plaque of that. Because you get hangry. You know, you get hungry / angry. When that hunger comes on, and I know it's coming on, my stomach's rumbling, I want to eat too, just like you, so we'll be done in a second here. But I got some amazing promises I want to read off for you, and then we'll be out of here, promise. But don't let people speak in your life out of hunger, because that's just the flesh right there. And that flesh is strong sometimes. Amen? Yeah. Remember, hurt people. And you know what, guys? The whole series about insecurity is knowing your worth in Christ. If you don't know your worth in Christ, how are you supposed to help someone else find their worth in Christ? If you don't know who God made you is, if you don't know how God made you to be, then how are you going to explain to somebody else what God made them to be? You can't. That's why you need to know it first. I have some promises. I have like a whole page of them, so I'm just going to read them off real fast to you guys. And this is what God says about you, okay? This is the word of God. I'm not even going to go in the scriptures because there'll be like 50 of them, but I'm just going to read some promises like just rapid fire real quick. This is who you are. And when I read this, believe this in your spirit, and you can even confess this while I read this. Number one, I am a child of God, like we just sang. I am redeemed from the hand of the enemy. I am forgiven. I am saved by grace through faith. I am justified. This is the Bible now. I'm sanctified. I'm a new creation. I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. I'm delivered from the powers of darkness. I'm led by the Spirit of God. I'm free from all bondage. I'm kept in safety wherever I go. I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. I'm an heir to the blessings of Abraham. I'm blessed coming in and going out. Amen. I'm an heir of eternal life. Amen. I'm blessed with all spiritual blessings. I'm healed by His stripes. Amen. Confess that today. Come on. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. I am daily overcoming the devil. I am not moved by what I see. I am walking by faith and not by sight. In Jesus' mighty name. Come on.